All right, we are 30 minutes away from Twins pregame starting, and we are just 2.5 hours away from Game 4. Timberwolves hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder at Target Center. I will be in attendance. And joining us now to talk all things NBA playoffs is a guy that I've known for a few years, had the pleasure of having him on other shows, on other stations. He's been on this show once, I think, here the last couple of years. But he was, in my estimation, before that there was Shams, before there was Woj bombs, there was an NBA insider at ESPN by the name of Chris Broussard. He is now at Fox Sports. He's a co-host of First Things First, and he's joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Coyle Baker Hotline. First off, Noob, how you been, man?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just hanging out. It's great weather here in Minneapolis. Looking forward to game number 4 tonight. Love all the work that you've been doing with the FS1 for the last several years. How has it been transitioning from top NBA reporter and insider to now you're just doing it all?
Well, I love it, which is why I left ESPN. They wanted to keep me in the reporter's role as an NBA insider. And Fox wanted me as more of a commentator and personality. So now, as you said, I'm commenting on far more sports. On our show, we mainly talk NFL and NBA, but, you know, we still talk some baseball. We were at the Indy 500 last week, so we do some other sports as well as college. But just being able to give my opinion rather than chasing news and, you know, all of that stuff is much better. So it's allowed my personality to shine more as well. So ESPN was great. I enjoyed my time there, but I'm loving it at FS1.
Yeah, you're knocking it out the park, bro. You're really doing a phenomenal job.
Man.
All right, so let's talk about these NBA playoffs. I want to talk about both series that everybody's watching right now, but we're going to start clearly here with Game 4, Wolves and OKC. I was in the building for Game number 3. Watching the Wolves destroy OKC, which was mind-blowing to me. It was a shocker to me. Did I anticipate them winning the game? Yes. I didn't believe that OKC was capable of sweeping the Wolves, nor did I think that the Wolves were going to lay down. But I didn't see, you know, that type of drubbing coming. But I think the number one thing that I took out of that game number 3 was how defensively Jaden McDaniels was able to just put the clamps on anybody that he was guarding. I thought they did a heck of a job defensively. That's where they set the tone. What were your thoughts coming out of game number 3?
Well, look, I think, and we saw this with OKC and Denver, it was like whichever team was more desperate, and we've seen it in other series as well, kind of came out with the victory. And obviously the Timberwolves were the desperate team, and they had more fire, more fight, more intensity, and it showed. But I think some of the key things that they did, which were critical going into this series, was one, they didn't turn the ball over. You know, first two games, they had a lot of turnovers, particularly game 2. And in game 3, they only had 10 turnovers, which kept OKC from getting out in transition and wreaking havoc, which is what they do. So that's number one. Two, it was the first time this series that Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle had played well together, right?
Yeah.
Randle was good in game 1. Edwards was okay. Game 2, Edwards was better. Randle was a no-show and got benched, as we all know. And then game 3, they both played well together. And when they both do their thing, they have two of the three best players in the series. And that's critical to them. Then you mentioned Jaden McDaniels and his defense. He's obviously one of the best defenders in the league. And they have, look, even though they're down 2-1, they have given Shai Gilgeous-Alexander fits. He's shooting like 42% in the series. He was 10 for 27 in the first game and only really got his points because he was sent to the line so much. And then in game 3, he was 4 for 13. So they have done a good job on him. Obviously, the whistle has been critical. And I think, you know, I think all of the criticism of the officiating on Shai has maybe shifted things in this series to the point where the referees are very aware of it. and that can help the Timberwolves, because quite honestly, these playoffs have been incredibly physical. And in game one, they really did not let the Wolves do much as far as touching Shea. And he got some phantom foul calls. So I think that all of those things are factors in what happened in game three. And let me say this about the blowout. That doesn't happen to OKC. They only lost a handful of games this season by double digits. They only lost one game by 20 or more points. In their seven playoff losses in the last 2 years, because this group of Thunder players have only been in the playoffs the last 2 years. In their seven losses over that stretch, their biggest loss was 12 points going into game three. Those seven games, they had lost by a combined 49 points. And all of a sudden, they're down 45 in game three to the T-Wolves. So that was not only a win by Minnesota, but it was a statement that we can impose our will on you, and we'll see if they can kind of keep that going and capitalize on that in game four tonight.
Talking to Chris Broussard, co-host of First Things First on Fox Sports here on Drive Time with DeRusha. Henry Lake in for Jason, off to a Twins baseball as well as Timberwolves basketball a little bit later this evening. We're talking about the Wolves and Thunder series. One of the things that was interesting to me, Chris, is the fact that, and I want your perspective and just opinion on Jalen Williams from OKC. Like, a couple of years ago, I thought it was going to be Shea is the star into Chet being a star into everybody else. It hasn't exactly played out that way, because I think that Jay Will has kind of developed and blossomed into being the number two guy. But it seems to me like he's got a little bit of ghost in him where he just has some really rough games and he's kind of missing in action. If he is not a guy that is consistently going to be the number two, or let's say like for tonight in game four, if he doesn't show up, do you think that the Wolves have a chance to even this thing back up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is one of the questions about this Thunder team, is their number two guy, Jalen Williams, consistent? And he hasn't been. He's had some big games, but he's also had some clunkers. He had 13 points. You know, you almost got to throw game three out as far as final stats because it was just such a rout. But, yeah, like I said, two of the three best players in the series play for Minnesota in Ant Edwards and Julius Randle. Now, look, I agree with you in that. I think when this Thunder team becomes its best version of itself, Chet Holmgren will be the second best player. Mm. I think Chet can be a star, if not a superstar. He just has been hurt. We know they know about him up there in Minnesota. He's just been hurt, you know, for half of his career so far, maybe, and hasn't really had a chance to fully develop. But I think he's a budding star, if not superstar. And Jalen will settle into that third guy role. Now, he is a very good player, a bona fide all-star this year, actually made all-NBA. I don't think I voted for him on my all-NBA team, but he did make third team. But, yeah, he's still inconsistent, and he's young. And that goes for the entire team, which is also something that they have to overcome, is that youth. As young as the Timberwolves are because of Anthony, they're far more a veteran team than the Thunder are. And, again, that's something they got to try to capitalize on in this series.
Who do you like tonight?
Well, I mean, I picked the Timberwolves to win the series, so they better win tonight. I mean, you go down 3-1, it's hard to imagine you beating this Thunder team three straight times with two of those games being in Oklahoma City. So they need to win tonight. A win is a win is a win, particularly in the playoffs. But if they were able to beat Oklahoma City handily, not like game three, obviously, that's not going to happen again. But if they beat them solidly and it's a dominant win, I think that really bodes well for them. They'll have confidence going back to Oklahoma City. And maybe the Thunder's confidence, because of their youth and lack of experience, could be shaken a bit. So I think they need to come out with a great performance tonight. And while you'll take a win, I think a dominant performance would be even better for them going back into game five.
All right, before I let you go, I want to get your perspective and take on what's happening in the East between the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks. I really don't have a dog in the fight, although I will say that, you know, if the Knicks are able to get into the finals, I would be happy for a couple of people with that organization that I'm still connected to. Gerson Rosas, who was here, and then he left, and then he ended up landing and getting a job with the New York Knicks. And then also my boy Cajole Legbe is one of the assistant coaches for the New York Knicks. So I got a little bit of Knicks love. But with the Knicks Pacers, I know the Knicks won last night, Chris, but I'm not really sure that this matchup is a matchup where they have the advantages. I know that they have, like, some of the bigger names, but I just feel like the way that Indiana consistently plays them, I think that they're probably the better team of the two.
Yeah, I agree. I picked the Pacers to win this series. I think they are the better team. It's close, and the Knicks certainly could win the series, but I do think the Pacers are better. I think, one, their style of play is better. They have ball movement, player movement. They were, I don't know if it's still the case, but heading into the series, they were leading the playoff in passes. You know, that, and second was Golden State. And those two teams, that says a lot because they're hard to guard. Teams are used to now guarding ISO, not a lot of player movement. And the Knicks, when they played Detroit and Boston, those are two teams at the bottom of the playoff in terms of passes. So it was easier to defend them, and you've seen in games 1-3 that the Knicks have had trouble harnessing the Pacers' offense. Secondly, they're more balanced, right? Halliburton's their best player. That dude is sweet. But it could be Halliburton leading in scoring. It could be Siakam. It could be, you know, Nesmith. Maybe even Nembhard, Miles Turner. Like, they have more, you know, an equal opportunity offense, if you will. And I think with the Knicks, as great as Jalen Brunson is, and he has become a great player, I think they're too Brunson-centric. And I don't know if they can change that this playoff. You know, they might have to look at that more in the offseason if they don't win the championship. But it's not, you know, it's interesting that in game one, their game-turning run was when Brunson was on the bench. They went on that 14-0 run in the fourth quarter to take control. Now, they lost it, but they did take control. And then last night in game three, it was the same situation. Brunson on the bench, late third, early fourth quarter. They go from 13 down to 4 down to eventually steal that game. Not at all insinuating that they're better without Brunson, but what I am saying is they would be better off with an equal opportunity offense. Maybe not equal opportunity, but at least where it wasn't so ball dominant and shot dominant with Brunson, and Cat was, you know, able to get his. And he does get his, don't get me wrong. But they got Mikal Bridges as well and OG Anunoby. All four of those guys are essentially – capable of being 20-point score. And I think they would be better suited if they played to that strength rather than just being so Jalen Brunson-centric. So those are reasons I like Indiana better. Look, what they did last night in losing game three, that's been their pattern in these playoffs. They lost game three to Milwaukee, lost game three to Cleveland, but won both of those series in five. So I do expect them to come out and win game four and take command of the series. I thought it would be a 6 or 7-game series, and it still could be 6. I'd be surprised at this point if it goes 7, because I think Indiana can take them out in 6 or maybe even 5 games.
Well, I'll tell you what I expect. I expect when I get to Target Center in the next hour or so and tip off tonight at 7:30 with the Wolves and the Thunder, I expect them to pull a Kendrick Lamar and squabble up tonight, because we got to get it done. We got to even up this series at 2 apiece. Hey, Chris, man, always a pleasure having you on the show. Continued success, my man, with the First Things First, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, brother. Anytime you need me, Nuke.
All right. Take care, Nuke. All right. That's Chris Broussard, co-host of First Things First on Fox Sports 1 here on Drive Time with DeRussia. Final segment. Now. All right, thanks again to Chris Broussard from Fox Sports for joining us here on Drive Time with DeRussia. You know, this is a big game tonight. not just because you even things back up, but think about this for sports fans here in Minnesota. If you win tonight, you're guaranteed it coming back at least to be in a game six. You know that. Like, that's a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
So, you win tonight, game on, baby.
Let's go. Is this the biggest Timberwolves game in franchise history?
It could be.
Because this
I feel like game four
against the Thunder tonight feels a lot better than game four against the Mavericks last season. And this is the closest right now, where we are standing right now, to reaching the NBA Finals.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of what the big game was the year when it was Lakers, Timberwolves, Western Conference Finals.
Because when did Cassell get injured?
Well, he didn't. I'm not sure he played that series. If he did play that series, he got hurt in game one.
Because that depth was not there.
Yeah, that was the problem. Like, they needed. So that series went six games. Mm-hmm. So
you weren't going to win that series on Wally and Rasho and those guys. That was not going to get you to the NBA Finals. So.
Yeah, that was super interesting. Yeah, the Wolves lost game one of that series. Then they won game two to even it up. Then the Lakers won back-to-back games in L.A. And so they led 3-1. They came back to Minnesota. We won by two. So I would say that game five,
yeah,
to extend it to a game six, that was the most impactful game in Wolves history, that game five. Because remember now, that game, Kevin Garnett had 30 points and 19 rebounds. Mm. He had a 30-19 game. That's crazy. And then we would go on to lose the next game, game six, by six in L.A. So yeah. I think that's the biggest game.
Yeah, it's getting up there, though. It's getting, the air's getting thin as can be. But we'll see.
Well, Twins are next up. Looking forward to the Minnesota Twins. Chris Paddock has been phenomenal. I gave him his flowers last week, talked to Derek Falvey, president of baseball operations, on the show. And Paddock is on the mound tonight. They start their series against the Tampa Rays, so we look forward to that. That should be a lot of fun. Twins pregame coming up in just a matter of moments, specifically 1 minute from now. And after that, final pitch. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow morning on the Morning News.